Going back to the garden, back to where we started. First love. Something else. Something else.
As I walk.
Like the sun shaping the shadow.
Because one of you's going up and one of you's not.
I don't know.
Hey, pick one.
I don't remember.
Let the sun shaping the shadow. Or are you going to go up on Let the sun. Are you going up or are you staying down?
Like the sun.
Let the sun shaping the shadow.
I don't know. I don't know which one I do now.
I think she goes up.
I might go up.
You're going up. No, you're not going up. That's what
like
it is. Grace has been going up. You've been
shaping
going
the shadow. What if I do?
That's right.
Oh, I do that.
That's
yeah,
what
that's what
does.
I do.
Yeah.
I knew. I said
your
that. I didn't know I was
not.
Doing this.
You gotta get together.
I was like, I didn't realize what
it's
I was doing.
It's a Brady Bunch. You gotta get together.
Let's
shaping
get together.
The shadow. I don't know if I. I don't know why I do that. Because I don't do it on the middle one. Like the sun shaping the shadow.
I think you leave it alone because we've got the kind of
we'll see.
Yeah. We don't.
You need to leave it up.
Like the sun shaping the shadow. Nine shaping the shadow.
She's going to go up.
She's going to go up
so
either
I
way.
Fear it's a habit at this point.
I'm going to try and follow her.
It's really hard to break a habit.
You know, so funny.
You started that one verse early. You always start that early. But it's really funny because I literally, like, I chuckled. I looked up and I was like,
we do our first few scriptures just to give honor to the word. Sorry. Maybe I'll change it up next time. Acts 2:38 through 39. This was right after the Holy Spirit was poured out on Pentecost, and Peter was giving a message, and he declared this as part of the message that he was declaring to the people that were standing in that space. And it says, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and all who are far off. Everyone. Say, I'm part of everyone. Whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Isn't that a powerful statement of truth? That the Holy Spirit is for you today.
Yes.
There should be a few more amens.
Amen.
And then Paul, when he was in Ephesus, he prayed a prayer for the people in Ephesians 3:19 and 20 through 21. And it says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church. That's you. That's you. You're the church. And in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. That's you. You're part of the generations. Forever and ever. That's you.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Last week, Pastor Ruth shared a message about the river of life, that the Holy Spirit is the river of life. He's the one that has come, that he empowers us, that there should actually be a river of living water flowing out of you. How many of you guys thought about that this last week, that I have a river of living water flowing out of me? How many of you came up and through the message, you learned something you didn't know before? A couple of you? So everybody else knew all the other things about the Holy Spirit from last week? Somebody have a takeaway from last week? They're like, this was powerful. Come on, youth, don't, you know. Amen. So for all of your lives that you've been a part of the kingdom of God, there's been opportunity for you to grow in an understanding of God. Yes? Do you think you've reached it? You never really will reach it. You've reached a level at some place, and we're probably all at different levels, but you're somewhere. And today I'm saying that there's something new. See, in Isaiah 43, 16 through 19, it says, "Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior, and they lie down and they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick." Do you remember the story of when God first brought the people out of Egypt and taking them into the promised land? This happened. So he's making known to you what he can do. How many of you know something God can do? That God can do really great things, right? You know a lot about God. You've heard a lot of stories about how he's done this and this and this, and you probably have testament of who God is in you. And then he goes on in those scriptures and says, remember not the former things. It says, nor consider things of old. Before you, I'm going to do a new thing. How many of you guys want God to do something new? How about you be really loud if you want God to do something new? But how many of you actually like new things? A few. There's a few of you. You really like new things? I'm going to take you on a little journey, okay? So because, you know, like shopping is something that's so important, we should have new things. Right? You like new things? How many of you guys like to go to the store and get you a new pair of jeans? Yeah, somebody in the house, like, how many of you guys never consider jeans ever? So this is going to bypass you, but I'll touch you on a different space. So when my sisters were here, we went shopping, and I bought this pair of jeans. Do you recognize that there's still a tag connected? You know what happened? I bought them, and I've tried them on multiple times, and yet I found myself, I have not worn them. How many of us like new things? How many of you guys have new things in your house that you've never worn? You're all guilty. And even when you go, I was trying to go out of my box. These are a little bit different. I put them on multiple times. And I was like, I just don't think I have the right shoes for them. So I probably can't wear them yet, you know? Because we have to have some reason that we don't use the new thing that we got that we really wanted, but we didn't know we really wanted. Maybe we did really want it. Maybe we didn't. I don't know. Still on the fence. You're confused, yes? It's all right. But, you know, when you shop, you should totally get shoes, too. Because you can't have new jeans without new shoes. All the women in the house should say. And all the men are like, you know. Some people like shoes. So, you know, you go shop and you get a new pair of shoes and they come fancy. A real fancy shoes. Woo! Fancy shoes. They even got like stuff inside of them, you know. And so you get these shoes and you're like thinking about like, man, really think I should change these shoes to these ones. But sometimes in the middle of us trying to change and get find something new with the Lord, this is a lot of work. Like, a lot of work to get these shoes off. Okay. Oh, and these socks don't work either. It's a lot of work to change your shoes and try something new. But, you know, when you get new shoes, you should always have socks. Because sometimes. There you go. Thank you for all the cheers. But you wear these for like a hot second. You're like, they're not that comfortable. I don't really like this uncomfortable situation of these shoes. They're slipping a little bit. I might end up not liking, my toes are not liking this right now. You know, we get something new and then we don't always like the new because it's uncomfortable. How many of you have bought something that was uncomfortable? You wore it once maybe and then it went back. Do you know there's a lot of uncomfortable things that I have to actually put on? I put them on and then I'm like, I have to leave. If I leave, I have to keep them on. If I stay home, they will not remain. Like that happens super fast. Maybe I'm the only one. But you know, sometimes we, you know, maybe you're like, I don't buy shoes and I don't like jeans. I don't know. There's something, right? There's something that you like that's new. Because when you get shoes and jeans, you definitely should get perfume. How many guys change your perfume? Never. All the women are like, yep, stay the same one. Well, I went not that long ago. I was like, I kind of want to change it up. I've worn this twice since I changed it up. Because we always like familiar. Sometimes we don't like when something's unfamiliar in our lives. We find, like, just think about your life. Just think about all the things that you really don't like that are new. But we'll rah-rah about something new. But when we get it, we don't always like it because it brings about change. It brings about something uncomfortable. It brings about something that's challenging. So you know what we do? A lot of times we're like, okay, as you can tell, the tag's still on this. So it's still in that leeway of maybe I just will give it back to the store. I'm not going to keep it. And I don't know about the shoe thing. If I wear them once, then I can't keep them. So I don't know. Maybe I'll wear them around my house a little bit. So what we do is we end up going back to the jeans that you like, that you wear. If you don't have jeans, you probably have a hoodie that you like, that you wear. There's the shaking of the heads right back there. I had to hit the target somewhere. Or you find the shoes that you go to, your go-to shoes. Except when I go to these shoes, because I really like these shoes, you want to know what happens? I wear them for a little bit, and because they're so worn, they're not comfortable anymore. Or you wear a pair of jeans so much, what happens? You're walking around, you're like, trying to keep them up because they've loosened enough that they fall. Or you get stains on your hoodie and it's just not as comfortable anymore. And how many times you wear the same perfume, the first moment you smell it, you never smell it again because you're used to it. You've gotten used to it. It says, now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? That I'm going to make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Rivers in the desert. The Holy Spirit is a river that's flowing through you. He's flowing through you. There's something that he wants to do today that's new. And I'm going to take you on a journey through Paul's life. So if you want to throw up the first scripture, if you want to turn to Acts 16 in your Bible, because we're going to kind of go through his journey. This is his second missionary journey. And Paul comes also to Derbe and Lystra. And I want you to think about your life the same as Paul's. That Paul is a man just like you. He actually dates after the Pentecost, so he's a man living with the Holy Spirit in him and moving through him. He's living in a land, and he's doing the work of God. Anybody know what Paul did by trade? He was a tent maker by trade. He was a man that had an honest living, a man that studied the word, a man that lived. And so when he came to Derbe and Lystra, he met Timothy. And this is something I feel like it's very important for you to understand, that in this life that you're living, that you're building community. That the Holy Spirit's calling you to build community. He's calling you to grow friendship. Timothy was taken alongside of Paul, and Paul, they worked together, and they were doing discipleship together. They were growing together. And Timothy finds himself on this journey with Paul. And I believe that it's important for us to understand that as they were doing this, in verse 5 of 16, it says, "And so the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in number daily." Is that something you desire to see right now? I'm going to just put my shoe on for a moment. I'm sorry. A little. I believe that we have to have this desire that we would see that the church can grow daily, that the body of Christ can grow daily. And that isn't from you coming to church on a Sunday and that's it. That is us growing in community. That is you living by the Spirit, that river of water that Pastor Ruth was speaking about last week, that it's dwelling and moving through you, that it's in you. That there's an increase of power moving through your life. And so in verse 6, it says they went to Phrygia and Galatia, and they had been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak a word in Asia. You see that word forbidden? That means God, in the Spirit of the living God, is working in our lives. That he has the ability to forbid you from doing something. That there is actually a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, allowing you to have an understanding of who he is. And this is part of the journey. You can see on the back, so you can kind of see that he's moving across the land. That big red spot right there in the middle, that pink spot, that's Asia, where God, the Holy Spirit, forbid him to speak the word. And you would say, well, why would he do that? Well, pocket that. I'm going to come back to it. So the Holy Spirit was active in their lives. Even when I was sharing this story with my kids, Caden said to me, he's like, you know, when it says that he forbid them, that was not just such a passing thought. That was an actual, like, no. Like, wait, was that God or not? No, this was actually like a very strong, you're forbidden. And we have to participate with the Holy Spirit. There's something that the Holy Spirit's wanting to do in your life. Can you consider this? Just consider yourself Paul. And you're trying to like do the things that Jesus is asking you to do, and he asks you to do, he forbids you to do something. Are you going to obey? Did you really like that? How often does that happen in our lives? Where the Holy Spirit's like, I don't want you to gossip. And we're like, well, we kind of like, they started it. Where these kinds of things happen in God, and the Holy Spirit's trying to like counter our flesh in our lives and forbid us from doing certain things or stepping across where he's like, I don't want you to go. Because if you believe that the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus and their desire for you is 100% good, then when he said, I forbid you from going, that was 100% good. And you have to believe that God's will and his desire for you is 100% good. So when he forbids you to do something, take note of it, that he's participating in your life. Are you willing to like think about it? Are you considering that new space in your life that you're assessing? Okay, am I being obedient to the Lord? Am I trusting God? When he says no, it requires your faith, depending on trust, to say, I obey. How often are these moments happening in your world and you lean in full and say, I'm going to be obedient because I trust God? And the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and wanting to do something in us that's new, That's something that's different. So you can't count on what you've always known. You have to trust that he's working. So as the story goes on, right in the next verse, it says, "And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them." So the Holy Spirit's not being passive in our lives. He should not be passive in your life. He should be powerful in your life. You should know, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is not what I'm supposed to do. Because if Paul experienced this, then how much more should we experience it? We should have grown in our faith from the time of Paul to today in 2025 and have even a greater understanding, yes? Your call by the Holy Spirit is that you would be led by him day in and day out. That you would trust that he is speaking to you and leading you in what you should do and what you should not do. Because in the next moment, in verse 8, it said, Paul has a vision, and there was in the vision, this person was calling for him to come to Macedonia. And so he went to Macedonia because he believed that he heard the Lord speaking to him. And as he's going, in chapter 16, verse 11, it says he got to Tros, the district of Macedonia. And he's there and he starts preaching by the riverside. And on the riverside, he comes to this place in verse 14, and there's a lady named Lydia. And she's a seller of purple, and she's a worshiper of God. And it says the Lord opened her heart to pay attention, and she got baptized and her whole household. So tell me the impact that Paul just had. He was obedient to the Holy Spirit in the leading, and then he comes into the place of Macedonia, and this lady that he encounters ends up coming to Jesus. Isn't that powerful? Don't you want to see people coming to Jesus? But it wasn't just her, it was her whole family. There's a moment where the Holy Spirit's directing them, and God is doing something that's so incredibly good. And so in the next part of chapter 16, I'm going to show you what if Paul had Instagram, it would have looked like. Are you guys ready? And Instagram is a social media thing, and there's reels on Instagram. And what a reel is it's just a click through of pictures that show how awesome life is, right? Anybody watched a reel? You know what I'm speaking of? Kind of. It's like if you got a highlight caption of what was happening in your life for the last like few months. So let's play the reel. So what happened here is that he's casting out a spirit. He ends up in jail and being beaten. These are great highlight reels, right? Did you like how the filters in like the time of Paul worked? Did you like that? Because he looks so different every reel. It's great. Filters of today do the same thing, just so you know. But like that, the jailer was almost suicidal. They were singing. The jailer's household ends up getting saved. All of this is happening. So when God was like, hey, I don't want you to go to Asia. And then there was this like vision to go to Macedonia. Guess what happened to Macedonia? He got beat. He got thrown in jail. Just because things that are not what you think that it should look like in your life, these pretty pictures, doesn't mean that God's not working. Because even in jail, God knew how to send, through the Holy Spirit, an earthquake that broke the chains off of them. And guess who ends up getting saved? The jailer got saved. And his whole household got saved. That was worth it, wasn't it? Can you consider the cost of the value of someone's salvation for you to go be thrown into prison and see the earthquake? There's something that God wants to do in our lives. It doesn't mean that it's always picture perfect, but you have to believe 100% that the Lord's way is perfect. There should be a shout of an amen there. So when they got out of prison in verse 40, it says, and they went and visited Lydia. And when they had seen her brothers, they encouraged them and departed. And I'm calling you as a church to be people sensitive. Do you know what that means? That we actually see people. How many of you have any fear about anything coming in the future? How many of you are struggling with something? How many of you are afraid? How many of you are uncertain of what's next? And you have the Holy Spirit in you. Just think of the world that does not. That's how we become people sensitive. When we realize they actually don't have a hope, and you are the hope. You are the very presence of God in their situation. That you get to be that. And this was what Paul was. He wasn't stuck on the fact that he had been beaten and he was downtrodden and he was just like, I don't know. He was like, all right, next person. Who am I going to minister to? How will I see them come into the kingdom? What is God doing in this moment? What is it that he wants me to do? And you have to be okay being uncomfortable for the Lord. And the reason you can be okay being uncomfortable is because you firmly believe in the God that can cause the earth to quake. That he can cause the chains to fall off like we sing about. That he can cause you to be healed in a moment. That he can set the captives free. That's why you're not afraid of whatever's next, is because you know the author of the story. You know his good will and good purposes are for you. That he's for you and not against you. So when we get to Acts 17, he's just traveling a lot of places telling the word. And in verse 14 and 15, the thing is, there was a lot of disruption. And so Paul and Timothy and Silas are together, but actually Timothy and Silas stay behind. And so he sends word and says, would you come as soon as possible? And so in chapter 18 of Acts, we're here again. And after Paul left Athens, he went to Corinth. So if you want to throw the map up so they can see where Corinth is. This was not light travel. This was very much like, it was a lot of work. Walking, riding on a mule, like just going from this place to that place, doing the work of God. But when he was there, he encountered a couple, Priscilla and Aquila. And guess what happened to them? They got kicked out of Italy because they threw everybody out of Italy that was Jewish. How many would like to be thrown out of your country? How many wouldn't really like that thought at all? No. But when they actually got thrown out of their country, they actually collided with Paul. So you can see that God's working. God was actually doing something in their stories together, except that it didn't look like they probably wished it would have looked. We get kicked out of our land. I'm over here. And guess what? For about a year and a half, all they did was they made tents together and preached the gospel. Building community. Doing life together. You have to value the people that are sitting in this room. You have to value them because they carry something in you that could reach someone else that maybe that needs to be reached that you don't have the capacity to reach. Have you considered that we strengthen one another, that we preach the word, that we come together and build community? This was a God-ordained friendship. And you have to be looking that God is sending people along your path that are God-ordained with purpose and intent. Giving grace to one another in the community. See, he was in Corinth. And he wrote to the Corinthian people. And it says, now the Spirit of the Lord is, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. He was offering to the people in Corinth a freedom that a lot of people don't understand. That you have that inside of you, that you can offer it to someone else. Have you considered the freedom that Christ has given you to live in freedom that you could impart to someone else? The grace he's bestowed on you to give towards someone else. Their struggle, their hard, their this, that you don't encounter them with abrasiveness and what's wrong with you? Why are you in my way? How often are we doing that instead of giving grace that is empowered through the Holy Spirit to one another? If we're not doing it in this household, this group of people, you're not going to be doing it out of this household. And we need to be doing it inside, so we do it outside. That's a mother's advice. So I tell my children, if they can't love each other, how are they going to love people outside of our house? And if they don't love the people outside of our house, then how are they going to take it to the next step and love their enemies? Like, we are called through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's why it says, we sang a song, it says, I'm nothing unless it's you. Because how many of you are nothing without God giving you the empowerment to be kind? It's the fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. Those things should be living and breathing amongst us. We should be tending to the fruit of one another. There's something that God was doing with Paul and Aquila and Priscilla. And I think that you should understand that he was using a partnership there. And God is partnering us together. And even when that happened from verse 8 to 11, it says, it wasn't that they weren't without opposition. But the Lord confirmed the word into Paul, and he said, just keep preaching the word. Even though they're opposing you, just keep doing it. I'm here, I'm doing something. It's something good. And he stayed there a year and 6 months. And then in verse 18 and 19, he was going to Ephesus with Priscilla and Aquila. I love this part because it just makes me understand you can build community and then move forward in it. That he didn't just say, it was great knowing you, and move on. He brought them alongside, and they were doing the work together. And then I think this is a key verse for you to understand. Verse, 18 and 19. It says that when he was there, he cut his hair. It's important for you to know that, right? Because then you know that he was normal, like us. He was doing normal things like us. He was living and doing. He got a haircut. That there's an importance of you understanding that this isn't just this super Paul over here and then it's just me. It's the Holy Spirit in all of us. How are you going to need a haircut? There's a few of you. Just part of life. This is him saying, look, we're doing life together. And we're part of life together. And there's something God's wanting to do with us together. And so then in verse 24 of 18, it says, and now a Jew named Apollos, a native to Alexandria, came to Ephesus. And he was an eloquent man, competent in scriptures. And he was preaching. And he was doing great things for the Lord. And I would like to challenge you to not become a part of the comparison trap. And you say, what is that? Anybody know what that is? Yeah, thanks. That you consider yourself a good Christian and at least you go to church. Like, that's okay. It's good. I'm good. I'm going to church. I'm a good Christian. I'm going to church. And you settle for that. It's so easy to be lulled into complacency as the body of Christ. We're good. We're not like those people out there. I'm better than that girl over there. I didn't honk and she honked. I don't know. Come on, be real with yourself. Where is the place in your spirit, man, that you've lulled yourself into a complacent walk with Christ that is not full of power and full of might and full of truth and full of light and full of hope and full of freedom? That we sit back in our comfortable chairs and we don't allow the Spirit to move in us every day, day in and day out. We expect God to move in this place and hope that he'll speak to us. But how about tomorrow? When God's saying, no, I want you to speak to that person out there because they're almost gone. And we got to pull them back into the light. That we wouldn't be so fixated on the fact that we've made it and arrived somehow. We have not. We're fighting the good fight of faith. We're waging the war against the enemy. And the enemy is real in our county. And he needs you to stand in the power and the might of the cross. The gospel is power enough, people. It is not you. It is him in you. And that power of the gospel should be so alive in your heart and in your mind that it's actively changing our nation. Because if the fullness of life is a river, then it should never become a cesspool in us. And we have let it become that as the church. We just more and more and more and fill our bellies with it. And it gets gross. But it's not called a pool for us. It's called a river that should collide out into the world, that everywhere we should go, the riverbank should overflow, and people should be telling you, have you heard what God's doing in that person over there? There should be like this stirring among people. The power of God, that person got healed, and this person got delivered, and my friend over there, God overwhelmed her family, and they all came to Jesus. This is the reality of the church. When the church was born, Paul was the church actively alive for us to see. We should be living that, the power of the Holy Spirit. And what happened is that God moved in him, and then Paul moved. And you know who moved in Aquila in Apollos' life? It wasn't actually Paul. It was Priscilla and Aquila. They're like, okay, this is like, you're doing great things over here, but there's so much more. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. There's so much more. And like you all said, you are at some level with God, right? There's so much more. If there wasn't, wouldn't that be boring? Do you really want that? We really don't. We don't. Not at all. Just assess how boring things get in your house. You like new things. There's got to be so much more of God moving in us and through us. And then what happened is Paul moved. And while Apollos was working the work in Corinth, he went through to the inland and came to Ephesus. And he's sharing with the people in Ephesus. And he's telling them, so verse 2, and he found some disciples and he's sharing them and he's saying, look, I know that you've received the Christ, but how about the Holy Spirit? You haven't gotten him yet? You got to get him because it's so good. It's so exciting. Do you know what could happen when you have the Holy Spirit in you? And I mean, just think about the excitement. It should be so exciting. There should be such life in this. And guess what? Those 12 men that he was telling got filled with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 10, it says, and they continued on, because they got real excited and they started preaching the news. And in verse 8, it actually tells they preached the news for 3 months. So they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and for 3 months, they boldly are telling everyone. What does that sound like to you? It sounds like revival. So Paul tells them about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. These 12 guys get so excited. For 3 months, they don't do anything but tell people about the gospel. And there's a breakout of revival. It gets even better than that. It's like so exciting. And in verse 10, you remember when Paul wasn't allowed to go to Asia? Well, guess what happened? That continued for 2 years so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jew and Greeks. Who was preaching to them? Those 12 guys. Can you put the map up? Do you see the circumference, the ginormousness of Asia? So when you're talking about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit, guess what he has? The power of the impact of multiplication. Tell me how 1 equals 12. How about 12 equaling a whole nation? That's you. That should be us in our hearts, that we would want revival like that, that we would see all of Walworth County saved. That's not a, like a, well, that sounds like a real great idea back, but probably, you know, meet my neighbor and my boss and, you know, they're pretty lost. And I'm just really tired and busy and I'm not really good at speaking and they don't really want to hear me anyway. You have a list of your excuses. But you serve the power of God and the holy God that lives inside of us that should bring transformation, that should change our county. There's more than 12 of you in here. Would 12 men stand up? It's not, that's like, they're probably a little bit more than 12, I didn't count, but like, look around. There's not that many men. But when Jesus stood there with his 12 disciples, guess what? They actually changed the world. It doesn't take all the people, all the places. It just takes you living and breathing the Holy Spirit and the river of the Holy Spirit moving through you day in and day out. When the Lord spoke to you, Jason, and you're like, I don't even know what that really means. Like, what does that actually look like for you every day? How do you take a hold of that scripture and actually apply it and not just let it say, that was really great, God, but I don't know what that even means. And he's saying, look, there's something I've got for you to do. And it's very, very, very important because there's people hanging in the balance. And Jeremy, when he spoke to you, there's something that the Lord is doing. And he wants you to bring the impact. He's not looking at anyone else. He's saying, my son, this is your chance. This is your opportunity. These are the people I've entrusted to you. Because I didn't send Jason to where you're going. I sent you. Like, I didn't send Paul to Asia. I sent these 12 guys because I knew that they would do what it takes. And I'm telling you that there's something that's more alive in this house than the air that you breathe. And what you're thinking is so important that you grab it and say, yes, God, I will change the map. I'll do it. I'll change it. That's what you have to say, John. No, that's it. That's me. I'm changing this. Because there's people that need to see the Lord. And I've got the light of Christ, the Holy Ghost in me. And there is no lack of power when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Do you know of any lack of power? Because the greatest power on the earth used to be death. But he said when he arose in the resurrection, it was the power of the Holy Spirit that caused him to arise. That power, it says, that lives in us. You have the greatest power. You have the greatest advantage. You can win at any turn because of the kingdom of heaven lives in you. And anything that's contrary to that, you need to crush it to the ground because it's become an idol in your mind that this is more and that is more. And the idols of our thoughts need to be established that they are crushed, that they need to be told, no, I will not believe that. I will not believe that. That is a lie from the liar, and the liar is not who I believe. I believe the word, and the word says that I have the power of the kingdom inside of me. He says that you can actually have the fullness of God. Do you know what that means? All the things that Jesus did are yours. And what I love to tell you is that Paul, when he was living, you can be seated, unless you want to stand. It makes me excited. It says, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. Maybe look at your hands. Say, what's wrong with you? It's time to work. It's time to get busy. It's time to do the work of God. I don't think that there's anything more important than in this hour than us being a part of the active role of what the kingdom of heaven is doing. It's kingdom reality. We need to stop participating so much in the world and be so much more an active participant in the kingdom realities that we might shift the kingdom. And I'm coming against the kingdom hard this morning. The kingdom of darkness that keeps trying to prevail in our minds, in our hearts, it needs to be squashed. Because we win, church. We win. And we have more power. And the thing is Paul, he was touching fabric. It touched his skin. And then they sent it to someone else and they got delivered and healed by fabric. Fabric. That's new. I don't remember Jesus doing that. One random lady reached out for the hem. But come on, they're just sending it. Let's get another handkerchief. They're disgusting pieces of fabric and they're sending them. I mean, here, you don't even want to touch someone's snotty thing. But this is actually delivering the presence of God. How absolutely amazing. Come on, church. The absolute amazingness of God is available. When he did that for Paul, Jesus told us, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, listen, it says, I say to you, whoever believes, you a whoever? Are you actually a whoever? Yeah. Whoever believes in me will also do the works I do, and greater than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. It's 100% the power of the Holy Spirit, the promise of when Jesus went to the Father that he would release in you, that you might be doing greater things. And we want to form fit all the miracles that Jesus did in our lives when he's like, guys, those were great, awesome, but there's so much more. I don't know how to express it in your heart or my heart, through my heart, except that the kingdom of heaven is real. There are miracles that should be, every day you should be seeing them. And every moment you shouldn't even consider. Have you considered, I'm going to just stop and I just know God will do it.
Yes.
And stop kind of like, well, maybe, I don't know, like just put all that aside. Just say, I'm not going to do that anymore. Have you ever just cut that chain that just keeps you from saying, well, I didn't see it last time. I'm not really sure. I'm not that good. And say, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with you being a jar, a clay vessel that he's like, I just want you to understand. You can be really great. And you might have the greatest words. But in 1 Corinthians 2, it says, that the power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. The world doesn't really need to hear you as much as to see the power of God working through you. And as you allow the presence of God to be an evidence to unbelieving people of the resurrection. The power of God should move through our lives so much that somebody says, oh, I can believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. Because there's the power of God moving in us. You carry the power of the gospel to be witnesses of his resurrection. Church, would you stand? It's harvest time. It's harvest time. Everything you have on your agenda for the next week might need to take a backseat to harvest time. All your attitudes and your thoughts might need to take a backseat to it's harvest time. All the doubts and unbeliefs and fears and I don't knows need to just take a backseat to the power that it's harvest time, church. And God's been speaking to you about the harvest, saying you're a light, saying he wants to do something new. And today is the day. Now is the day of salvation. Would you cry out for someone's salvation this morning? Would you cry out to the Lord of the harvest and say, God, send laborers. Use me, God. I'm here. I'll do whatever. God, we want you more than anything. And we know we're not enough. But you, oh God, you are enough. And we ask you that your presence would be so tangible in our lives. That we would hear, that we'd be, our ears would be so attuned to what the Spirit's doing. That we would be able to deliver the word of truth. That we would be able to be willing and obedient to walk out the gospel. That we would see signs and wonders and miracles following us. God, that is a truth. That's a kingdom reality. That your power might be on display, that people would see the glory of God. Oh God, how we want more. God, we want so much more. God, we repent of places that we have held more in more esteem than you, God. God, it's so easy to get in our heads. But we ask that your kingdom reality would be in our thoughts. That we would take time to consider what you've established, what you said, what you're willing, God, to do. And we thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives so we can be victorious. We thank you, God, that every situation that we face with the Holy Spirit, there is change. There's evidence of freedom. There's the power of God. I ask that you would equip each of these people in this room like never before, that they would be like those 12 men, that we would go out and we would literally take Walworth County. that we would find people to reach, that we would go and have great opportunities, because it would be so burning in our hearts, like a fire shut up in our bones, that we cannot keep quiet. We thank you, God. We thank you for divine appointments and godly relationships and the movement of your Spirit. God, we ask for more. We ask for more as a people. We ask for more, oh God, in the mighty, most holy and powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Take a minute and just, in the quiet of your own heart, make a commitment to the Lord for what He said this morning. He's challenging us to reach people, to take His word and use the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to touch and change and enliven people. Lord, we commit ourselves to it. You want to where you're moving, to your power. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Put your hand in your heart this morning. Father, we commit our hearts to you, to what you want to do in us and through us. Let your river flow. Let your Holy Spirit empower us. Use us, Lord, as your vessels, we pray. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Go in the strength.